Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today with arms raised and hearts open. We come to praise your name. We come to lift you high, and we thank you for these young ones and for who they are and also who they are going to grow up to be. And we love them, and we thank you for them, and just thank you for using them. Be with us as we hear from the Word this morning. Be with Brother Cal as he brings his sermon to us. Open our hearts that we would be changed and transformed by what we hear. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen. I want to thank our youth praise team today. Hallelujah. If you haven't been to the His Works building, you need to go check it out. I was over there earlier, and they were checking in, the little ones, got to shake a few hands. And I'll tell you, there's been so much work that's gone in to getting that building open, and it's going to help us to grow again exponentially. You can tell. I mean, look here. We got a full crowd here. Hallelujah. Well, once that building starts housing more children, we're going to do multiple services. Well, I don't like that. It's about reaching people, folks. And so that's where we're headed. And so just get ready for some changes. And there'll be a few hiccups over here for the next couple of weeks where it's all going to get squared away. But I was so blessed. I just about broke out in tears over there this morning. And if you haven't seen the building, you need to go check it out. Just stay out of the teacher's way, all right? Let me just recognize y'all. I know we don't need to go on a whole lot further. But if you had a part, maybe you worked one Saturday, or maybe you've been in the planning stages of things. Maybe in some kind of way that you helped get that the His Works building open. Would you stand to your feet? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Our kids now have a building they can call their own. And I will thank God for our landlords. I thank God for the seas. Hallelujah. And old Mike Boysaw got her done. Anyways, it's just good to be in the His Works. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check it out. It used to be, Jules, you remember when it was the Waterworks? Hallelujah, now it's His Works. All right. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? There's a new style of worship going on over here now. Hallelujah. So we need to get on with the message today. Amen. You can just tell my heart's full today. I thank God for who he is and what he's doing. And let's just keep rolling with Jesus, man. There's nothing, no one like him. Amen. We are going to return to our Spiritual Breakthrough 2025 sermon series now. You know, 3 weeks ago, High Road was here, and then 2 weeks ago, I preached on the Lord's Supper, and then last Sunday was Easter, so we're going to return to that. You remember the last series was on surrender? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about obedience. Look at your neighbor, whoever your neighbor is, that's the one you're sitting beside, and say, obedience. All right, the Bible. Now, what I found out this week is it is amazing how obedience is tied to the assurance of your salvation. I talk to folks all the time, and they have doubts about their salvation, and they don't have that assurance that they need. And obedience plays a big part in giving you the assurance of your salvation. There are folks here this morning and you're struggling in that area. The Bible says you can know if you're saved or not. That's what it says. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." 1 John 5 and verse 13 reveals, John said, "These things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And so you need to know if you're saved or not. If you've got doubts or you lack assurance today, your salvation, let me just say this, unless you settle this issue of salvation, you'll never be able to completely move on in your faith. You'll not be able to grow and mature and become the kind of person that God desires for you to be. So, God, by the way, did y'all know God has given us a book of assurance? He has. It's called 1 John. And that's where we're going to be this morning. And just five little chapters in the book of 1 John. And the word know, not N-O, but the word K-N-O-W, is used 39 times in the book of 1 John in those five chapters. 39 times. And so that's a message for us in and of itself. And every time the word's used, it's speaking of experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge. Now, I told you that obedience plays a big part in not having doubts and having the assurance that you need to have. How many of you remember the Jeff Foxworthy Comedy Hour? Wow. Now I know what y'all are watching. Okay. He would bring on usually three Get Her Done. Remember that guy? Yeah, and then he had Tater Salad. You remember him? But my favorite was the comedian named Bill Engvall. You remember him? And he coined the phrase. He was always making fun of folks. Now he was from Texas, and he would even make fun of folks from Texas. And he would give you a line, you know, and then he coined this phrase. Y'all remember? Here's your sign. Here's your sign. So we're not going to get off on all of that too much today, but I want you to know the first sign of salvation is found in 1 John 2, verses 3 and 5. And the Word of God is telling us today, this is the title of the message, Obedience is Your Sign. You with me? Let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. I normally read the Scripture first, but just wanted to kind of intro what we're talking about here today. 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, "I know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. And they say I'm a dogmatic preacher. My goodness. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God, listen to this, is perfected in him. By this we, there's that word again, know that we are in him. Father, give us that assurance today of our salvation. Give us, God, what we need to move on in our Christian experience. Dispel all the doubts. Help us, God, to seal this assurance, whether we're saved or not. And there are folks here that the reason they've got doubts is because they're lost. And then there are folks that are here today that have doubts and they're saved because they're not really believing what God's Word says. And so please help us today with this issue of obedience, Lord. And I just pray everything that I've just mentioned to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. First question today, it's kind of a test. How many of y'all like to have a test? That's what I thought. 1 John gives you kind of a test of salvation. And here's the first question that he's asking there in verse 3. Do you have the desire to be obedient? Do you have the desire to be obedient? Ask somebody, do you have the desire? Now, the rest of you didn't say anything. Say, to be obedient. All right. John begins by telling us, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, the word keep, guys, is a very, very interesting word. It means to guard carefully. Keep means to guard carefully. Very interesting, because you see, keeping God's commandments has to do with not only guarding them, but keeping them as if you're guarding a treasure. How many of you know, that the Word of God is a treasure? A treasure house of blessing. And so someone who is genuinely born again, somebody who is truly following Christ, is obedient to the Scriptures. They keep the commandments of God. Now, how many of you know it's not enough to just claim to be saved? Right? You need to live like it. Oh, it was just two or three little amens there. Now, I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm talking about, is it the desire of your heart? There's no perfect obedience this side of heaven. But it ought to be looking pretty good. Right? And so, if you're born again, if you're saved, if you've got Jesus and he's got you, there's got to be a desire deep down in your heart and in your spirit to please God. Well, how do you please God? By keeping his commandments. I mean, are we hitting home now? Are we getting somewhere? So do you have the desire to be obedient? Now, John's kind of like old Pastor Cal. He's really blunt sometimes. I mean, he just kind of in your face. He just doesn't know how to say things without saying them. Doesn't that sound like me? Help me, Jesus. I need to be more tactful, I think. God's still teaching me too. But John says in verse 4, basically, if you call yourself a Christian and claim to be saved and don't have the desire in your heart to obey God's commands, then you're a liar. I didn't say that. The Word of God says that. You're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And Revelation 21 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And so you don't want to be a liar. You want to know that you're saved. And if you are saved, you've got the desire in your heart to please God. Are y'all with me so far? All right. So, now, let me just close this section here of the text, verse 3. Do you have the longing in your heart of hearts to obey God? Is it the really now, let's examine our heart. Is it the desire of your heart to please him by keeping his commandments? And there's quite a few of them in the Scriptures. It's not just the 10. There are other commandments there. And so, is living in obedience to the commands of Scripture important to you? Now, you and God's the only two that can answer that. Y'all think I'm saved? And by the way, I think every pastor ought to be saved. I think every deacon ought to be saved. I think every child of God ought to be saved. And so deep within your heart, there must be a desire to keep the commandments of God. And when you break those commandments, there ought to be an issue of conviction. If you don't ever have any conviction about things, so far as being obedient to the Scriptures, then you probably need a good dose of Jesus. All right. Y'all still with me? Don't check out on me, because this is it's really fixing to get good. Now, here's the second thing I want to ask you. Do you understand the description of obedience? Do you understand the description, what he's describing here about obedience? Now, I want us to look at verse 3 and verse 5 again. He says, Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I want you to, now, some of you think that it's an unpardonable sin to write in your Bible. Bless your heart. You've got sermon outline for notes. Underline, write down that word command, commandments. Okay? That's an important word right there. Do you keep his commandments? But now jump down to verse 5. There's another word here I want you all to see. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word. Underline or circle word or write down the word word. And you see, what he's asking, what he's describing here is somebody who really loves God, not only keeps his commandment, they keep his word. You see the difference? Y'all see the difference? Do y'all see the difference? I don't know if y'all do or not, so we're going to talk about that difference. Look at John. Go with me to John's gospel. John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. All right. Look at John 14 and verse 15, would you? When you get there, say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
If you're not there, say, glory's coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, John 14 and verse 15 says, this is going to be real familiar. Now, the Word of God says, if you love me, verse 15, John 14, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Now, hadn't we heard that before? Yeah. Now, jump down to verse 23. Same chapter. Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There it is again. And so what are we talking about? What's the difference in keeping his commandments and keeping his word? Well, let me describe it like this. In my daddy's house, when I was living under my mom and dad's roof, I was just a young guy, young boy, and a little bit older than my fine little friend right here, Harry, a little bit older than him, maybe a couple years older, but I had some commandments in the Hampton family. Susan will remember this. My father came to me when I was about, I guess, 8 or 9 years old, and he said, son, don't you like it when your dad calls you son? he said, son, I want you to start taking out the trash. That's your job. Taking the garbage out to the garbage can outside. We had somebody that came by once a week to pick up the garbage. You know what I'm talking about. So I was to take out the trash. And then number two, he said, I want you to make sure that the grass is cut. It was my job to cut the yard, right, Susan? And Dad was gone a lot. Man, he worked like a dog. He was one of the leading internal medicine, practiced internal medicine here in Clarksville for years. And so he needed me to do those two things. Those were specific commandments from Jim Hampton. For me. And so I had to follow and be obedient to those commandments. What do you think happened if I didn't take the trash out? Or just let the grass go for about 3 weeks. There was trouble at the Hampton house. And so those were my specific commandments. But I followed them for the most part. Now there were some other things that happened in our house, and we would hear from time to time. And one day, Mom and Dad were in the living room, and I was in the kitchen raiding the refrigerator, getting a pre-supper snack, and Dad had gotten home early, and they were sitting in the living room, and I overheard my dad tell my mom, you know, Barbara, I really wished I could find somebody to cut the grass over at my office. He said, I'm just too busy. I just can't get to it. And it needs to look nice over there. And Barbara said, well, surely we can find somebody. And I'm listening to all this, you know, around the corner. And so the next day after school, I grabbed my mom and I said, Mom, I heard Dad say he needed somebody to cut the grass over at the office. Could we throw this old, now y'all, I wasn't on a John Deere tractor, okay? Like some of you folks are. It was an old push mower. You remember those? And you had to, crank it and all that. But I said, could we throw that in that old blue, you remember that blue station wagon, Susan? I'm amazed that thing even got down to the end of the road. But anyways, I said, could we throw that lawnmower in the back end of the station wagon? Let me just go cut Dad's grass. She said, well, why do you want to do that? I said, I heard him telling you yesterday that he needed somebody to cut the grass, and I just want to show him that I love him. And so Mom loaded up me and the lawnmower up in that old blue station wagon, took me over to the office, had a gas can, dropped me off, and it took me about an hour and a half to cut that grass. Now, y'all, you know, these little lawnmowers were about this wide, you know. And it was hot, but I cut the grass. And one of Mom's nurses, one of Dad's nurses, was Mrs. Eleanor Brown. And after I got finished, I was sitting out on the front steps of the office waiting for Mom to come pick me up. And she brought me outside an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. I thought, this is all worth it right here. And then I never saw Dad. He was seeing patients, you know. And he came home for supper that night. And he came in and he put his arm around me and he said, thank you. The grass looks great at the office. And guess what? I got a job. Not a commandment. I got a job. He paid me $5 to mow that lawn. $5. That's pretty good for a 9-year-old kid, Harry, back in the day. So why did I do that? Because I loved him. And that's what the scripture's telling us here. Y'all getting this now? And so when you love the Lord, you want to please him. And you'll keep his commandments. And you'll be in his word sometimes. And you'll be saying, you know what? Here, this is not really a commandment, but this is this is Jesus' desire for my life. This is something he would like for me to do so that I can begin to grow more and more like him. And because I love him, I'm going to do those things. Y'all with me now? So we've covered the whole gamut of scriptures now. And so Jesus has some other things for us to do besides the commandments, those black and white deals of commandments. There's some things that he desires for us to do because we've come to know him and love him. We not only have the desire to keep his commandments, but we have the desire to keep his word. Isn't this good stuff, y'all? Well, six of you think it is. So, how are we doing so far? Do you have the desire for obedience? Do you understand the description of obedience? It has to do with a love relationship. And then finally, do you devote yourself to obedience? There's that third question. Do you devote? Now, the word devote means that you're all in. You're not half. I can't stand to be half in, half out on anything I do. I don't understand that. If you're going to commit to something, surrender to something, go ahead. Get all in. Go all in. And Greg, Lee and I were talking in the war room this morning, and we were talking about finishing well. You know, folks, it isn't really how you get started. It's how you finish that really counts. It's how you finish. And I want to finish well. And I, when Jesus comes, I don't want him to have any problems recognizing me. I want him to know. And I believe he will because I know him and he knows me. So look at verse 5 again over there in 1 John. Let me go back to 1 John. But whoever keeps his word, now watch this, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. John's telling us that when we are devoted to being obedient to his word, somehow God's word, God's love is perfected in that. Is that not amazing? And I believe what that means is once you are devoted, to the Lord Jesus. Once you are sold out, once you are surrendered, once you are doing your best to keep His commandments and to keep His word, the love of God begins to mature you and perfect you, and He's in it also. You see, in my flesh, I can't do anything. But when I'm in the Spirit, hallelujah, I can keep God's commandments and I can keep His word because He's with me. His love is being perfected in me. I've had people tell me, there ain't no way I can do that, Brother Cal. No, you're right, but He can. Hallelujah. And so how do you look at the commandments of God? How do you see those today? Do you have the desire to obey them? And how do you see the Word of God? When you're in the Scripture, y'all do read your Bible from time to time. You do read your Bible. So when God speaks to you from the Word, how do you respond to that? This is a big deal. And so if there's very little to no desire to please God, I've said this once already, I'm not going to call you a liar again. But if there's very little to no desire in your life to please God, to obey His commandments, to obey the Scriptures, to obey the Word, to walk in His way, to accomplish His will for your life, friend, you need probably to be saved. If there's no conviction in your life when you sin and you disobey God's Word and you disobey the commandments, if there's no conviction, you need to be saved. Because you see, if you've got the Spirit of the living God in you, guess what? God loves you enough to say, hey, big boy, this isn't what you need to be doing. And He puts His finger on the sin in my life. I don't know who I'm preaching to here right now. But I want to tell you, you know, have y'all seen the signs in church parking lots? You are about to enter the mission field. Can I just tell y'all enough? I love y'all enough to tell you that one of the mission fields is right up in here. Billy Graham said 40-something years ago that 20% of the church was saved. You know the 80-20 rule? 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. 20% of the people are giving 80% of the money. Can I just tell you, if you're a part of the 20, hallelujah. But there is some tension in the Word of God between salvation and good works. Good works don't save you, but if you're saved, those good things that you do are going to work for you for His glory. Hallelujah. All right, so, well, it's response time. Response time. Do you want to accomplish God's will for your life? Do you want God's best? I mean, do you want to have, I'm sure y'all all know people that just have God all over them. Do you know what blesses the child of God? It's obedience. You remember when Satan, I just thought of this, when Satan came to God and said, they were talking, and God said, there's my servant Job. You remember what he said? He said, there's no one like him. He keeps the word of God. He walks in it. And of course, y'all all know the story. But if God were to look down at you today, would He say, that's my boy Isaac. That's my girl Diana. That's my man, Adam. What would He say? What would He say? Well, you're the only one who can answer that, friend. And I want to tell you, if you've got some butterflies in your stomach right now, if you've got some insecurity right now about what we've been talking about, there wouldn't be a million demons keep me from Jesus. You need to give your life to the Lord. And maybe you've been saved and or thought you were saved and you were baptized. And you're realizing today, I'm still not sure. You know what I'd do? I'd say, okay, God, here's what your word says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so, God, I want to drive a spiritual stake down today, and I want you to know I believe in you. I have trusted in you. I'm believing in the finished work of Christ at the cross and in the tomb, and I now belong to you. Thank you for literally making this clear. Adrian Rogers did this at the in his late 20s. Amen. That's what I would do if I were you. And then I'd follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Scripture says in Acts 2, after they gladly received the word, then they were baptized. And so some of y'all need to do that today. And bless God, I don't care if you're a member of the church already or not. This happens. The devil loves to sell people a bill of goods. And then I think there's some others that are here and you're saved and you know it. But you've got some obedience issues that God's trying to deal with in some area of the word. And you just need to come and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. Would you just bow your heads with me all across the sanctuary today? I want to pray for you. First, I want to ask you, do you have those doubts? Do you have that assurance that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity with Jesus in heaven? Do you have that assurance? Well, if you don't, I would pray something like this. Lord, I don't know everything that there is to know. But I do know this. Jesus is the very Son of God. And I believe the Word of God. It says that He paid the price for all my sin. That He died on an old cruel cross so that I could be forgiven of all my sin. And today, I receive what He did for me by faith. And I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that way, I love you enough to tell you, you cannot be ashamed of the Lord any longer. You've got to take your stand for Him. And we want to ask you to just come. We'll get some prayer warriors to pray over you and get some materials in your hand to get you started right in your new life with Christ. And then there are some others. And it's an obedient issue. You know you belong to the Lord, but there's an issue in your heart and in your life today. I don't know what that is, but God does, because He's pointing it out right now in your life. And right now is the time to turn from that sin and confess it and forsake it and walk away from it. You need somebody to pray for you. You don't have to tell them what's going on. They'll just pray for you. That's what this altar's for. Let's fill it up with assurance of your salvation today. You come, we'll help you to figure all this out. Please don't sit there in your seat knowing that you need to make this decision today. Please, I beg you. I don't want you to leave here with questions. Right now is the time to come. Father, whether it's salvation, whether it's an obedience issue, oh God, help us to accomplish and do Your perfect will for our lives. May Your love be perfected in our lives and give us what we need here today. Oh God, don't let the evil one have victory this morning. Don't let our flesh overcome the love of our spirit. Oh, God, don't let us worry about what somebody else thinks. That's meaningless. It's all about you and what you think, Father. And so give us Holy Ghost boldness today for those that have gladly received the word, that they would come forward. And then others that would come to an old-fashioned altar, Father, and just turn from their sin and receive your blessing for being obedient. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet quietly and reverently. Don't wait. Just come on right now. What are we going to do here, Andrew? Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.